Well, even though we've had one of the coolest springs in recent memory, summer is right around the corner, and that means super blazing sun and the need to protect our skin. For many, both men and women, the need to look bronze is very important, as evidenced by those who continue to go to tanning beds and those who continue to lay out and bake in the sun. Today, we're going to spend the next hour with a true skin expert, dermatologist Dr. Mary Lupo, who has been board certified since 1984 and is a clinical professor at Tulane, who can update us on the tanning bed situation and perhaps what we can do to get that golden glow without killing ourselves. And we're also going to talk about the very latest for those of us wanting to look as young as we can. And very shortly, we're also going to be joined by Helena Moreno, who is our state representative, who has a House bill before the legislature right now that would ban minors from going to tanning beds. So we're going to start with our tanning bed discussion. And Dr. Mary Lupo, I truly appreciate you being here.
It's my pleasure.
The downside.
Well, there is no upside. Let me just say that, first of all, about going in a tanning bed. A tanning bed is a very concentrated form of UVA irradiation. UVA light penetrates deeper into the skin than UVB rays. UVBs are the more burning rays, but UVA can burn your skin. That's why you can burn on a cloudy day. Mm-hmm. But what's most significant medically about UVA light is the fact that it goes deeper into the skin and actually suppresses your skin's immune system. It damages DNA, and it is a direct cause of cancer of the skin, specifically basal cell, squamous cell, and malignant melanoma. Mm. In this country right now, we have in epidemic proportions young people getting melanoma. In my practice, it's been primarily in non-sun-exposed areas where I've seen melanoma in young women under the age of 30. And 100% of them have a history of going in tanning beds in their late teens and early 20s. Mm. So there's a delayed danger. People need to remember that melanoma can kill you.
I have a little fact. I was doing some research of my own. One American every hour dies of melanoma.
That's a scary statistic.
It's a very scary statistic.
And it's one of the cancers that we are not getting a hold of medically. We're not seeing a decrease incidence of this cancer, and we are not seeing a decrease in the life expectancy of people who get melanoma. Melanoma is still killing people, and a lot of it has to do with tanning bed use. And people who think that a tanning bed is a safe way to get tan, they're absolutely wrong.
Well, that was my next question. Is it much worse out in the sun?
Well, it's interesting. You know, because of the controlled environment with the tanning bed, you're actually getting a hyper-concentrated amount of UVA that you probably wouldn't get outside before you went inside and to get out of the heat. In addition, no one I know who goes in a tanning bed does not also get free sunlight when they can. Mm-hmm. And there's an exponential risk when you do both, and they all do both. So in my mind, I would rather see people get a natural, gradual sun exposure using full-spectrum sunblock and get it gradually than to go in a tanning bed and or do both. So, and that's what I advise my patients. And, of course, we highly recommend the self-tanners because they do not increase your chances of getting skin cancer. And they give you, and they have some very good ones now.
You're talking about sprays and lotions.
Sprays, and then the ones that are particularly popular now, the ones that are in a cloth form rather than a spray or a lotion form, they seem to give a more uniform application. And if the patient exfoliates before they do it and takes their time and really does it well, you can get a very nice, even bronzing to the skin that's very natural looking and does not represent your skin tanning in response to the damage that you're incurring when you get UVA from a tanning bed.
Okay. We had mentioned that State Representative Helena Moreno was joining us, and she has, and we're so grateful. And if you could update us on your bill.
Hey, Angela, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Sure. House Bill 746, which you may have already touched on, which prohibits anyone under the age of 18 from going into a tanning facility and using the tanning equipment. That has been getting great response throughout the legislative process. It passed almost unanimously out of the House side. I believe we only had one person who opposed it, and it is now on the Senate side. It has gone through the Senate committee and passed unanimously out of the Senate committee, and it'll be heard on the Senate floor, depending on how long they work tonight, either later tonight or tomorrow. And we're not expecting any type of issues there, so hopefully it'll pass without any type of problem tomorrow, and then it'll head on over to the governor's desk.
What was your motivation in bringing this up?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, a group of dermatologists from the New Orleans area talked to me about this particular legislation, I guess a little bit over a year ago. It was before last year's legislative session, and they wanted to try to do this type of ban. And at the time, it was so close to session starting. We had a limitation of bills that we could do because it was a fiscal session. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of their data with them, and we were still trying to figure out who was going to be on board and who wasn't. And I said, you know what, if we're going to put such types of restrictions on an industry, let's make sure that we've got all our ducks in a row and that we can really go forward with this in full force and get this done all the way through. And so sure enough, they did. After last year's session, they came back. They had Louisiana Dermatological Society behind them, along with the Louisiana Medical Society, a bunch of different studies and figures, Planet Beach Contempo Spa, one of the industry leaders behind them. So, you know, obviously they were 100% ready to go, and they were prepared, and I authored the bill, and this is where we are today. So really, it's been a process that's taken over a year.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you calling in and telling us about it, and good luck tonight if tonight's the big vote.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Angela, for all you do.
Thank you very much. And we'll be right back, and we're going to continue our talk with Dr. Mary Lupo about skincare right after this. Well, we're talking with Dr. Mary Lupo, dermatologist for many, many years, and also a clinical professor at Tulane. We're starting to talk about the tanning bed issue because Helena Moreno has a bill that hopefully will be voted on tonight that would limit people, but only 18 and older, that younger people should not be going to tanning beds. Dr. Mary Lupo is saying that no one should go on tanning beds.
That would be my position. And the thought that people can't buy cigarettes under the age of 18 and yet can go in a tanning bed. There's such a disconnect there because both are so clearly linked with cancer and with other health issues. So, you know, it is my opinion that no one should go in a tanning bed, but certainly not anyone young enough that I don't think they really know the full extent. You know, when you're young, you don't think about the future. Mm-hmm. You don't think about the damage that you're doing to your skin and to future health issues.
But, you know, oftentimes, whether it's this issue or something else, intellectually we know, but we continue on.
Yeah, but there's a lot of misinformation out there. For example, a lot of the tanning bed people say that tanning beds help you with vitamin D levels. And it is true that vitamin D levels are very important to overall health, but you do not get vitamin D formed in your skin and in your bloodstream from UVA exposure. You get it from UVB exposure.
And tanning beds are
and
only
tanning
UVA.
Beds are UVA. So they are giving a lot of misinformation out there and telling people that tanning is good for them, and it is absolutely a falsehood. And I think that when people really get the facts, and someone under 18, I don't think can adequately make a decision, and that's why 18 is the age of informed consent on many medical and social issues. So I think this is a very good bill. Hopefully, Helena is to be greatly commended. The members of the Louisiana Derm have worked very hard with her, and hopefully this will pass because it's very important to the health of our young people to help prevent skin cancers. And let me tell you, UVA, that A could also stand for aging. Angela,
let us talk about that.
Because UVA is the wavelength that goes into the dermis, the second layer of skin where the collagen and the elastin is, and it basically fries your collagen, and it is the direct reason that we wrinkle. The number one reason for the aging of the skin is UVA exposure. And, you know, the UVB is important because of a lot of the brown spots that you get. And UVA can cause brown spots too, but the UVA is what causes the wrinkles. And I think that's very important because I don't know anyone who at 18 is looking forward to being wrinkled when they're 40. And I think every 18-year-old fears turning into their mother on many levels. So I think if I tell these people, if the number one thing you can do to look younger when you're older is to stay out of the sun as much as feasible, to use a broad spectrum sun protective agent, use hats. I mean, I go to Jazz Fest, and if possible, I've got a hat that looks like an umbrella on my head, and my sunscreen. And so I think that's extremely important. I think it's important to use at first an over-the-counter retinol, and then, if at all possible, a prescription retinoid, which a lot of young people are already on for their acne. So I tell them, look, you know, you start for your acne, then stay on it to prevent the acne from coming back, and then stay on it to prevent the wrinkles. So there's if a young person in their teens now stays out of the sun, uses a broad-spectrum sun protective factor, and hats and seeks the shade when possible. Listen, I'm all for physical fitness. I think we need to move more in this state. I never tell people, oh, don't go outside and ride your bike. Don't go outside and run. I never say that. I say, go out there, run, do your exercises, but wear your sunscreen, reapply it, wear a hat whenever possible. Use your common sense. Use a prescription retinoid if you have access to a board-certified dermatologist who can assess your skin and prescribe one appropriate for your skin type. And then a lot of aging will be prevented. Then there's a lot of other things we can do beyond that, but that's the first step, sunscreen and retinoids.
Retinoids, and like you said, they're over-the-counter retinoids. And you were talking about the acne because I use a product, which is prescription Tazorac, that I heard was originally formed to fight acne.
Actually, Tazorac was originally FDA approved for psoriasis, believe it or not. Mm. And then it became FDA approved for acne. And then in another name called Avage, but it's the same active ingredient, FDA approved, as is Renova for wrinkles. There are really two products that have ever gotten the seal of approval from the FDA for wrinkles, and it's Renova and Avage. But Avage and Tazorac are the same thing and quite good. And Tazorac not only, and Avage not only help active acne and help aging, but it's probably my number one product for post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which is dark spots on the skin of African-American patients who get brown spots when they have blemishes, because it normalizes the color of the skin without bleaching it. Mm-hmm. So it gets rid of the dark spots without lightening the normal skin color, which is what we want. We want people to have a nice, uniform, natural skin tone, whether that skin tone be very fair or very dark or everything in between. But you want it to be uniform, and you want it to be the natural color that a person's supposed to be. We don't want to lighten people abnormally, and we don't want people to darken abnormally from too much ultraviolet exposure.
In talking about Tazorac and things, I grew up essentially on a beach in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I wake up every day panicked. Is this the day I become the raisin and the prune? Because I know I didn't take care of myself as a young person. And these were the days of ignorance, really, but you slap the baby oil on. I mean, it was everything wrong. And I just wonder, at this stage of life, will I pay for that?
No, because you have been very proactive for a number of years now to undo the damage.
So that damage can be undone.
So I hate to tell people that damage can be undone, because then they go, okay, I'm going to go get the damage.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is we have a number of tools and devices and prescription items. And you mentioned one with Tazorac. I mentioned another one with Renova. Mm-hmm. But we have devices. We have low-level laser devices that absolutely reverse sun damage and the blotchiness, and even reverse the skin cancer changes. There are things that you can do to undo the damage. But I firmly believe that an ounce of prevention is always worth a pound of cure. It will cost you so much more to undo the damage. So yes, we can do it, but we would prefer not to. We would prefer that you take really good care of your skin and you not need me. But if you need me, we do laser genesis, we do intense pulse light, we do Fraxel, we do Clear and Brilliant, we do Permea. We've got a list of, you know, half of a dozen machines that we can cherry pick depending on your presentation, the severity, your age, etc., and really customize a protocol to undo your sun damage. Yes, we can do that. But as a physician, my primary mission is to keep people healthy in the first place.
Yes.
So that they don't need me and my expensive machines in the second place. So I really firmly believe, but yes, we can undo a lot. And Tazorac has done a lot to undo your damage.
Okay, and that is music to my ears, because I have worried about that.
Yeah.
And it was out of ignorance. Today, going to a beach, I'd have that big hat that looks like the thing, because I know.
Right.
I know. Okay, everyone. And what we know is we have to go to the newsroom, so let's take a break. We'll be right back. Well, our guest today is Dr. Mary Lupo, who is a board-certified dermatologist and a clinical professor at Tulane. And if you have any questions, any dermatological questions, don't hesitate to call us at 260-1870, and I want to say this isn't just for women. This is for men, too. We have talked about really an astounding figure of every hour an American dies of melanoma, skin melanoma, and 1 in 58 people will be diagnosed with melanoma. I mean, that's real. So we've talked about the things we can do to protect our skin, and we need to continue to do all of our lives, not just as young people. But we also are talking about those wonderful new scientific things that are helping us feel better about ourselves by trying to stay as young as we can be. And you had sort of mentioned a litany of them. And if you would break those down, we're trying to rejuvenate our skin, and this is non-surgical. This is... So talk to me.
Well, patients come to see me as a board-certified dermatologist because they don't want surgery. They don't want to be cut on, and they want to do things non-surgically, non-aggressively, non-invasively. So basically, if it involves a needle or a device with some sort of light energy coming out of it, that's the realm of my expertise. So injecting fillers, Botox products, and of course using laser and light devices. So it depends on what the presentation of the patient is. For example, I see a lot of patients whose sun damage is represented not by wrinkles yet, but they have a lot of broken capillaries or telangiectasias on their face, red little squirrely dilated veins, and they have little mottled brown spots. So for those patients, we actually use a non-ablative laser, either an intense pulse light device or something called a vascular laser like the XLV. And what we do is we target the blood vessels and the brown spots to give greater luminosity and clarity to the overall skin color. And you do get improvement with the texture of the skin. You will see improvement in the pore size. Now, we can never permanently change a person's pore size. But you can do things that are bad that make your pores bigger. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that dilates your pores is, yes, you guessed it, sunlight and tanning beds. Because what UVA does is it dilates the collagen or fragments the collagen that support the pores. Mm-hmm. And when that collagen gets damaged, it allows the pores to gape open. That is why a lot of women, somewhere between 40 and 45, really start to get upset about the size of their pores. And it's because it is a manifestation of UV damage. So IPL would be the thing that we use for that presentation. Mm-hmm. Then if someone's got wrinkles and brown spots, then we'll use something like a Fraxel. And the Fraxel, which is a very specific laser, there are some people calling things Fraxel that aren't Fraxel. It's like I tell people, all tissue is not Kleenex.
Right.
So Fraxel is a very specific brand, and the Fraxel thulium laser has been found and is FDA approved for precancerous changes of the skin. So that's a really good one. If you want to decrease your risk of skin cancers and get rid of a lot of the aging of the skin. The Fraxel Thulium is a slam dunk. It literally kills two birds with one stone.
What is the recovery on that?
You look bronzed and flaky and a little swollen for about 5 days with that, but you have no oozing or crusting with this particular laser.
Okay. We have some calls I think we're going to get to. Let's go to Thomas in New Orleans East.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Thomas.
My question is about freckles. Is there anything you can do to get rid of them?
Okay, say that again. I kind of
freckles.
Freckles.
Can you get rid of freckles?
It depends on the reason for the freckles. If you have freckles genetically, you were born with freckles, you've had freckles since you were a child, the answer succinctly is probably not.
Okay.
If you have freckles as a result of sun damage, the answer is yes, we can get rid of them.
Because I've tried the Obagi treatment. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes.
I've tried that. I mean, I don't guess it's really good, right?
Well, I prefer not to make commentary. I don't actually recommend the Obagi line in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite simply because I found that I have other things that I can prescribe that I can achieve at least as good, if not better results, less expensively to my patients. Mm. But if you've got genetically induced familial freckles, but a good dermatologist could recognize that and not waste your money with it. So, you know, first you need to see the right doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a skin problem, you want to see a board certified dermatologist. You can go to the American Board of Dermatology and you can find out who is board certified.
Yep.
So that you make sure that you go to a doctor who is not just trained, but trained and certified by having passed the exam, the certifying exam to become board certified, because a board certified dermatologist can give you a better idea of your options. And sometimes we tell people, you know, nothing is the best solution.
Thomas, we have to go. I want everyone to stay with us. Angie and Ed and Bill, we'll be right back. Dr. Mary Lupo, our very special guest. Ed in Mississippi, you had a question?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm African-American, and I was once told by a dermatologist who was about to retire, so he'd been in the business for a while, that he'd never seen an African-American get melanoma. And I thought that was kind of a strange thing to say, considering, you know, how fair-complexed some African-Americans are. Is that true?
No, yeah, I would disagree with that. Whereas melanomas are less common in African Americans, they are certainly not without risk. I've actually seen a couple of melanomas in my day. And in all of the cases, what was interesting is these were not in sun-exposed areas. There was one on a toenail, and there was one on the bottom of a foot. So I do think that people who are African-American can get melanoma, and I have actually had basal cells in African-American patients. And we all need to remember that very, very seldom are people who are listed as African-American are pure African. Most of them are mixed race, especially in the greater New Orleans area. They have a lot of French background. They may have Native American. We're a very intermixing culture. And so I disagree with that statement. I certainly would say that we see it less frequently, but I would not say you have a zero risk. And I encourage my African-American patients to use sun protection and to wear sunscreens for many reasons, skin cancer and also for cosmetic reasons as well.
Thank
you
so much. I'm sorry?
Would you say there's a correlation between how fair-complected you might be and risk?
Of course. The fairer you are, the greater your risk of melanoma.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And our wonderful producer, I'm looking at Ed, our wonderful producer, who is Helen Santani, who is a beautiful redhead. I mean, this woman dips in because she is so fair.
Oh, redheads have to really be careful.
Fair. Yes. Bill and Slidell.
A couple of years ago, I had a mole that came on my forehead I had never had before, and they did a biopsy on it, and it came back that it was melanoma. They removed it. But Now I haven't had any more problems, but I don't have much hair on the top of my head. And every time that I'm out, even for a short length of time, if I don't have a cap on, the top of my head just burns very badly. Without wearing a cap, is there anything that I can do to put on my head to keep it? Does your head ever get conditioned so that it doesn't burn?
No, unfortunately, the scalp of men is an area where I see a lot of skin cancers, both the non-melanoma type, basal cell and squamous cell, as well as melanomas. So a hat is very good protection. Sunscreens are good protections too, but you do have to reapply it frequently. Unfortunately, as your hair gets thinner, your skin is exposed more, and you have a greater and greater risk, and that risk never goes away. It actually gets worse as your hair gets thinner because you have less protection from the hair. So you need to use sun protection. You need to use that hat. And you need to make sure that with a history of one melanoma that you get a full body skin check every year from your dermatologist to make sure that you don't have any new lesions.
Well, okay. When they removed it, he just said that if ever a knot came under my chin or anything to come back immediately, but I've never had. He said that it had not gotten into the lymph nodes. So,
that's wonderful that it didn't get into the lymph nodes, but you still need to go see your dermatologist once a year and have your whole body looked at and make sure that you don't get new ones.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back. I want to thank Dr. Mary Lupo. This has been a fascinating hour. We will have you back talking about other things, and I appreciate our callers as well. But thank you, Dr. Mary Lupo, and we're going to think safety, and that's the bottom line.